The parable of the talents is a long parable, but most relevant to each and every one of us. Firstly, a talent back then was like a gold bar of bullion today. A talent was a weight of some precious coinage or some precious mineral, silver or gold. And to one was given five, to one two, and one one, each in accordance with their ability. And the one who had five got five more. The one who had two more. But the one who was given only one failed to produce any good income. The point being this, that if you want something done, go and see someone who's busy. A busy person will always find time, and because they're busy, they'll slot it in to get the job done. But the person with only one talent, he was lazy. That's the accusation made against him. Lazy. He was a lazy person, that's why he was given only one talent, and even if he had taken that talent to the bank, he would have had at least the interest on that amount of money. But he didn't even bother doing that. And what was his excuse for being lazy? Because a lazy person always has an excuse. Remember, laziness or sloth is a capital sin, a vice. There's only seven vices, and this one locks you into inactivity. I couldn't be bothered. Think of a slug. Slow, leaves a mess, just kind of hangs around. Well, this person was lazy to the bone. And his excuse was, I'm afraid. Fear crippled him. He said, I'm afraid that you're going to be hard on me, therefore I did nothing. A lazy person always has an excuse. Oh, the weather's going to change, or oh, I've hurt my back, or I don't feel well today, or always has an excuse. A busy person puts aside the excuses and gets on with the job. We are called not to be lazy or wasteful with the gifts that God has given us. And notice he gives different gifts or talents or abilities to different people. There's always been some people who seem to be more endowed with gifts than others. There's always an Einstein or a Beethoven or a Michelangelo. Extraordinary people with extraordinary gifts. But bear this fact in mind, and it's a fact, not fiction, God created us all for perfection. Though we are different, the talents he gives us manifest themselves when he wants them to be manifested. Don't be surprised that if you've just done an ordinary lifestyle, nothing exceptional, your time may still come. But the fact is you're still earning an income on the gifts that God has given you. You're still generating graces. So never think you're harshly done by it. Always bear in mind, those who are given much, much will be demanded from them. So, we are grateful for what we've been given, but never squander or waste or be lazy with the gifts that God has given you. If you have a certain musical ability, not everyone is given that gift of music. Use it. Use it. Don't waste it. And use it for the glory of God. If you're good with maths or some financial concerns, help us out of the parish, please. We need financial guidance. There's always something we can do with our talents. And it just means a bit of lateral thinking at times, looking outside the square, to realise that we all are given certain gifts or abilities, and to tune them in to what God wants us to do with them, and not put up excuses. We're not told that the owner was a hard man. It was gossip. It was the others say that he is hard. We're not told he is hard. Now that's the parable as such. This parable also refers to us with regards to our salvation. God will give you enough grace to get there. And God is not a hard man. The other day we had a tragedy in the parking lot, and a woman rang me up yesterday and made this assumption. She said, why does God cause people to die? People just die here, people die there. Why didn't God stop this person dying? Why does God cause this? Cause that. I said, God doesn't cause death. In fact, death is not part of his agenda. It came with sin. We cause suffering, sickness and death. God didn't create us to die. He's the author of life, not death. But he knows when people will die. He knows everything. But he doesn't cause everything. You may know something's going to happen. It doesn't mean you're the cause of it happening. And this person went on and tried to explain to them, God's bigger. He sees the big picture. Why someone dies at this age and why someone dies at that age, I don't know, but God does. And so often people die because of our stupidity. We took the wrong medicine. We were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Someone drove the car into our house. We died. It wasn't God's doing. He knows it's going to happen, but it's not the cause. So that was their argument regarding God. But so often people think of God like a policeman. You know, we've got so many points, otherwise, and then we lose our license, and we've got so many points in this life, and we go to hell. And God's kind of like waiting at the corner, like the policeman. He'll pop out and fight us for going 5 kilometres too fast, or not wearing our seatbelt, or using the phone, and we'll lose all our points, we'll lose our license. We'll lose our soul and go to hell. God isn't like a mean policeman waiting to catch us. He's not hard. He's not harsh. He's not cruel. And he's not mean. God is our Father. He is merciful. He is kind, but he is also just. A good father doesn't always say yes to his or her children. A good father sometimes makes them squirm so that they do excel in the gifts that they are given. In other words, he doesn't pamper to their needs, nor does he spoil them. He helps them. He doesn't hinder them in using the gifts and talents that God has given to them. That's a good father, a loving father. Our Father in heaven is far more than that. He wants us to be where he is. He's given us talents, gifts, abilities. We must not be lazy, but use them when appropriate for his glory and our salvation. One person who came to realise that, but could have gone the other way, was John. He was born in Portugal in the 16th century. Interesting age. An age of much confusion, of heroism, holiness, and travesty. And John grew up in a family where mum and dad were okay. They were pious and religious, but John was very, very impulsive. We might say he had ADD, always doing things. And for some reason, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and like St. Patrick, was absconded, kidnapped, hijacked, taken away. And he ended up in Spain. And the family was rather abusive, so he suffered much in that family, or rather in that mode of living. And he escaped from them and ended up on a property as a teenager. He never went back home. His parents never saw him again. So he had a dysfunctional childhood, which later on would bring on severe depression. And John was working on this property, and eventually the owner became difficult, and so he left. And as a young man, was enticed by Charles the Emperor to join the army. Christians are being rallied against Islam. The great battle of Lepanto is looming. John would go off as a soldier to war. And soldiers see much in war. They sometimes see things they shouldn't, and sometimes they compensate in a way they shouldn't for the horror and the hideous scenes that have been brought to their midst. Anyway, John suffered much and, as a consequence, picked up an addiction. Now, there's only 5 addictions that lock the soul into immoral behaviour. And one addiction that's common today is gambling. He became a gambler. Why do people gamble? Why do people want to win? Well, I think there's a part of the problem is a sense of pride. They don't think highly of themselves. They've got to have the money, get the house, get the boat. And also there's an element of jealousy. This person has that Jaguar. I need a Jaguar. I've got to have a Jaguar. Therefore, I'll gamble. I'll go on the line, get the tax ticket, do the horses, whatever means is available. Anyway, he gambled all he had. He lost the lot, was destitute, was discharged from service, and was alone. And eventually, his depression led him to mental anguish. He may have become bipolar, but John started walking the streets, screaming, yelling, pulling his hair out. Eventually, they had to lock him up in a mental asylum. And in that mental asylum, it was more like a prison. He suffered in a hideous manner. He nearly died. But right there in his 20s, God sent a saint to him. The saint was St. John of Avila, not John of the Cross, but another John, who inspired him by his preaching, but also by his holiness. And he prayed with him, heard his confession, and then a miracle occurred. John was healed of his mental illness. We forget the power of grace. We forget the blessings that God has for us, the talents hidden to be revealed at a pertinent moment. This talent was given to John. To be mentally healed, he would no longer suffer the depression, the anguish that he had endured for decades. He could let the past go, and with God's grace, move on in the future. And in being healed by St. John of Avila, John set about a reform of the hospital system. He became known as St. John of God. Yes, the St. John of God Hospital, hospices we hear about in this country and abroad, were begun by this man who had a moment in his life when he could have gone another way. But he seized the moment given to him, the graces bestowed upon him, and utilized them to harness an army of men and women who had become great nurses, great professional carers in our medical system, and they are still vibrant in the world today. It all began with this one moment, this talent given and utilized. And behind the scenes was a saint praying for him, seeking his conversion. So never doubt the efficacy of God's grace, his healing presence in our life. But most of all, let us use the gifts given to us. Never be lazy, but always seize each moment with God's grace. As the Latins would say, carpe diem, seize the day, make the most of it, because this day is the beginning of the great future awaiting us in God's plan in heaven.
Praise be Jesus Christ.